let's have a word of prayer. If you would bow your head and close your eyes, would you say to the Lord, now this is personal. This really has nothing to do with the preacher part. Would you say from your heart to the Lord, Lord, would you please speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you? Would you say that silently from your heart? Lord, please speak to my heart today through the message and through your word that I may be drawn closer to you. Secondly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to today, filled with your spirit. Simply means controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said, turn to your neighbor and say something kind to them, some kind words, and then you can be seated. All right, did everybody have somebody say something nice to them? Well, good, I hope so. You know, I've coached or assistant coached little ones, emphasize on little ones, in several sports. When the boys were playing, I coached YMCA basketball and YMCA flag football and community league baseball. And I know that my coaching wasn't anything grand, but I jokingly say, whenever the occasion arises, I tell my family this, you know, I'm a two-sport championship coach. Because in basketball, 1 year we won the YMCA league, and 1 year in YMCA football, flag football, we won that. So I jokingly say that. But you know, when I played sports and when I coached or cheered on the boys, we had our share of victories. We had our share of losses, according to the scoreboard. But after many, and the boys will attest to this, but after many of those games, especially losses, I would ask the boys a series of questions. You know, can you picture this? You know, you just played a basketball game. You just got lost. That one season, we lost every game. Every single game we lost. So we got to do something to encourage these kids. I would ask the boys these series of questions. Number one, the scoreboard looked bad, but I would ask them something like this. Did you play by the rules? You know what they'd say? Yes. I said, did you make God happy? They'd say yes. Did you do your best? They would say yes. Did you show teamwork? They'd say yes. Did you show sportsmanship? They'd say yes. Did you have fun? And they'd say yes. You know what I would respond with? After these series of yes answers, I would then say, well then, you're a winner. You're a winner. Regardless of what the scoreboard says, you are a winner. Do you know this local church, even local churches in general, have some similarities to a sports team? Our church has some similarities to a sports team, and a key element of any team is unity. A key element of any team is unity. Can I tell you this? I hope you're awake, alert, and enthusiastic today. Can I tell you this? Our God is a huge God. We've been going on Wednesday nights in particular for weeks on end talking about how big is God. How big is God? And if you missed it, you missed it. Because it was pretty amazing the way the Word of God describes the Word of the power of God and how big our God is. Let me tell you how big God is, okay? God is so big that from eternity past, everybody with me on that? From eternity past, this would be past to you, right? From eternity past, God knew the message that we needed on August 3rd, 2025. You see, we're making some big decisions on this Sunday and next Sunday that will affect Oak Mound for years. It will affect Oak Mound for decades. In fact, it probably will affect Oak Mound even beyond that until the Lord comes back. It's not a little decision. And let me tell you, God in his bigness, if you will, God in his bigness directed me a few weeks ago to start a series in the book of Philippians. Y'all with me on that? Remember that? This is message number 7, as best as I got it noted. So in his bigness, he directed me to start preaching in the book of Philippians, a series of messages, verse by verse, through the book of Philippians. Unbeknownst to me and totally unplanned by me, today's message, again orchestrated by a huge God, is the next series of verses in the book of Philippians. And do you know what it deals with? It deals with the subject of unity. Don't you think God's a big God? This book is written to a local church at Philippi. So I would imagine what Paul wrote, of course everything in the Bible is applicable, but I would imagine that we'd say, okay, Paul wrote that to a local church. We are a local church here. I think there's a lot that we can learn from this. The title of the message today, 6 Keys to True Unity. 6 Keys to True Unity. And before I stand behind this pulpit, I am very sure that what I'm preaching is what God wants me to preach. And so if this God is so big, and if this God from eternity past has orchestrated this message on today, I think it would behoove all of us to listen close. What you think? 6 keys to unity. 6 keys to unity. Now, I'm going to read this passage of Scripture, really not that many verses, but I want you, and it's going to be kind of an analogy of a sports team, okay? And you'll see, this is pretty interesting. The English word athletics comes from a Greek word that we're going to talk about today. You know, we in America are possessed with athletics a lot of times, and it's almost like a god to a lot of people. But let me tell you, we're going to be using a sports analogy to preach through the message, but this English word athletics, we're going to talk about the Greek word that comes from. Now you say, well, how do you get unity from that passage? Well, look, in verse 27, it mentions one spirit. It mentions one mind. It mentions striving together. In chapter 2 and verse 1, it mentions the fellowship of the Spirit. In chapter 2 and verse 2, it mentions like-minded. It mentions same love. It mentions one accord. And it mentions one mind. So clearly, as I look at this passage, the subject is unity. Let me read these verses, beginning at verse 27 of chapter 1. It says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one man, mind that is, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition or death or destruction, but to you of salvation or deliverance, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." So when we suffer for Jesus, guess what? That's a good thing. It draws us closer to God, right? Now we won't say humanly it's a good thing, but it is. "Having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me." Where was Paul? Paul was under house arrest in Rome, right? Verse 1 of chapter 2. "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels or tenderness and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Today we're looking at six keys to true unity. Key number one is to play by the rules. To play by the rules. Notice what it says. It says, only let your conversation. Do you know a lot of times when the word conversation is there, you know what it means? It means our conduct. It talks about the way we live our lives on a day-to-day basis. You know, one thing that really concerns me is the way we are at church versus the way we are everywhere else. You see, there should not be a division between what I am at church and when I'm in the world. I just use those words here in the world, but at the church, I'm going to use good language. I got to be careful. Now, I'm going to think good thoughts while I'm at church. I'm going to put a big smile on my face. But now in the world, I'm going to be a complainer or a gripe. You know what I mean? There's so much a dichotomy. But you know what you and I need to have happen in our life? We need to play by the rules all the time. It says, only let your conduct, conversation, be as it what? Becometh the gospel of Christ. You see, as Christians, we have the same rules. Do you know that? You know what our rule book is? Now, it's a little bit long compared to some rule books, but we have a rule book called the Word of God. Y'all agree with that? Amen. We have the Bible. We have the same rule book. And whenever, if we want to have unity, we got to make sure that everybody, as best as we can, we're sinners saved by grace. We still fail the Lord, but we got to make sure that we're living by the book, by the rule book, right? So we have to play by the rules. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Notice this. This is where the Bible is spoken of as it comes from God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. I know we use this verse a lot, but it's so pivotal and crucial. God breathed these very words into existence. How can we take them lightly? How can we say, I know what the Word of God says, but we got to stick to what the Word of God says in everything. But notice what it says, and it's profitable. This is the part I really wanted to emphasize. Within this book, we have doctrine. It tells us what to believe. Y'all agree with that? It says for reproof. Whenever we're wrong, the Word of God, if we spend enough time in it, will say, guess what, Bubba? You're not right. Guess what, Bubba? You need to straighten up and fly right. I don't know if your name's Bubba or not. That's what God calls me, Bubba, especially when I'm disobedient. So it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. It doesn't leave us where we are. It says, guess what? This is what you need to do to get right. And then it says, for instruction in righteousness. The Word of God, this rule book is amazing. But we got to play by the rules. We got to live our lives according to the book. If we're not on the same page in the Word of God, we'll never have unity. Seriously. And I've said this from almost day one, that I'm a doctrinal purist. I believe that a church, a local church, ought to be on the same page doctrinally. And I have no problem, and the church agrees with this because it's in the Constitution that you'll sign that you agree to our doctrine, to our what we believe. It's important that we believe the same thing. But in addition to that, we not only need to believe the same thing, we need to play by the same rules. This idea of conversation or conduct is actually a political word that means live as citizens. Live as citizens. Remember, Philippi was a Roman colony. These were Roman citizens. So that would kind of strike a chord with them. Guess where our citizenship is? Heaven. That's where a real citizenship is. I'm from West Virginia. I'm from southern West Virginia. I'm happy to be from West Virginia. But guess what? My real eternal address, my citizenship is in heaven. It says, live as citizens. And it says, as it becometh. what? As it becometh the gospel of Christ. Is the way you live make people brag on the gospel or want to reject the gospel? Now, come on. Which is it? You know, a lot of people bring reproach upon the gospel by the way they live and not play by the rules. They're not living their life. How many times have you heard people say, I'd come to church, but there's a bunch of hypocrites down there. I'd come to church, but my neighbor, he called himself a Christian, and he took 3 foot off my property when he put his fence up. You know, things like that. We got to live by the rules. Play by the rules if we want true unity. And that's only found by following God's rule book, the Bible. You know, the refs, the coaches, and the players must know the rule book when you're playing a game, right? And guess what? I'm not sure I've ever seen a coach or a player change the ruling of the ref except through this replay. You know, the replay now that you have in some sports. The replay might overturn it, but you can fuss with the rules. You can argue with the rules. You say, that's not a rule all you want to, but the ref says, well, that's the rules we're following. If we want unity in any church, you got to play by the rules. Number two, if you want unity, give it your best together. Give it your best together. Look at verse 27 as we read on. It says, whether I come and see you or else be absent. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it to see you again. Remember, I'm under house arrest. I might lose my life. But I want to hear of your affairs that what? Ye stand fast in one spirit. Stand fast in one spirit. You know what that means? Standing fast, standing firm. It represents resolve. It's like, I am going to stand for the Lord. And notice what it says. In one spirit. In one spirit. Are we stronger standing together shoulder to shoulder, or are we stronger as individuals? We're stronger standing together, right? We get it all mixed up. The enemy is out there. Let me say that again. The enemy is in front of us out there. I've been doing this church thing for a long time. Remember, I was taken to church while I was still in the womb. I've been in full-time ministry, I think, for about 23 years now, full-time ministry. But if you group all the part-time ministry and the in-betweens and all that, it goes way back. We were probably looking at what, let me think about that real quick. If you put it all together, I interim pastored my first church in like 1987, so I'd be about 13 and what, 25, about 38, going on 40 years. Now listen, we got to always keep in mind, the enemy is not your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Our enemy is the devil and his demons, right? And when the world fights against us, but when we stand shoulder to shoulder with resolve and recognize who the enemy is, we can be unified and say, come on, bring it on. We're ready for you, right? Look at what it says. It says that ye stand fast in one spirit. If that's not unity, I don't know what that is. Our enemies are in front of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Notice what it says. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know what I picture? I picture as a church, what we do, we all line up shoulder to shoulder, and we're like even locking arms and say, oh, devil, I dare you to come over and mess with us. And move forward as a group. You know, a lot of times when they're looking for something, they go shoulder to shoulder or just spread out a little bit and try to find something. You know, we ought to be moving forward for the Lord shoulder to shoulder. In high school football, I played lineman. And as a lineman, I had to stand and block the guy in front of me. And say there's 7 people on the line, let's say. Let's call the tight ends that are in. We got the tackles, we got the guards, and we got the center. And if I'm there and I'm saying, you know what? I just don't think I'm going to block this time. You know, and I just stand there and this big old, usually I block the 200-plus guys, and at the time I was about 155, and I had to block them getting their way or something. But if I just made up my mind, guess what? I just don't think I'm going to block this time. The quarterback's going to get creamed, right? And if any one of the line says, you know what, I'm just not. Unity means we stand arm in arm. We all block together. We all try to move the ball forward for the cause of Christ. Amen? Amen. Say amen or oh me or something out there. Amen that we have to stand together. Give it your best together. Six keys. Play by the rules. The Bible. Second, give it your best together. Number three, are you ready for this? Show teamwork. Show teamwork. Notice what it says. It goes on. I'm just looking at Scripture. I'm not making this stuff up. It says, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together. One mind. We're supposed to be thinking alike, striving together for the gospel. Striving together for the gospel. And that word, striving together, are you ready? Newsflash. That Greek word is the word that we get athletics from. That striving together. Soon athlontes is the Greek word. Soon athlet. Try again. I got it jotted down here. Soon athlontes. In case you want to impress somebody. You can kind of hear the word athletics in there. If I said it right, you'd probably hear it more. But the idea is it comes from the Greek word of striving together. We ought to be working hard. We got too many people that are spectating while a lot of us work. Now, I do think our percentages are better than most churches. I mean, when I was in seminary, they called it the 80-20 rule, that 20% did the work while 80% watched. I don't think that's the percentage in our church. I think it's a whole lot better than that. But you know what we're supposed to be? If we know Jesus, we're supposed to be different. And we're supposed to be plugged into our local church. We live in a day and age that everybody wants to minimalize the importance of the local church. How can you minimalize the importance of the local church and say it's not important, it's not that big of a deal, I can serve Jesus at home? Well, sure you can serve Jesus at home, but you can't be right with God in this church. I mean, that's the truth of it. God says, I'm going to leave one group here to further the cause of Christ. It's called the local church. And people want to ignore it. Now, let me tell you. If we're living by the rule book and playing by the rules, part of it is to be faithful to church. If you ever expect me to back down or change on that, you got the wrong guy. Because I'm a big local church guy. You've got to be part of your local church. If you're not, and you're not faithful, you're not right with God. That's just the truth of the matter. It's the foundation on which we build our ministries. It's not an afterthought. It's not like, well, maybe if I have time. It's like, I'm going to go to church. Show teamwork. One mind. Thinking alike. Warren Wiersbe, one of my heroes of the faith, says here, Paul pictures in this phrase the church as a team. And he reminds them that it is teamwork that wins victories. If you know Jesus as your Savior, we're on the same team. Sometimes the lost world may oppose us. The world's philosophies go against us. The devil and his demons are our enemies. And our flesh goes against what God wants. But guess what? We're on the same team if we know Jesus as our Savior. I believe it was when Midland Trail was playing Clay County. That's where you were at, Debbie, right? When you did your little handcart thing? Clay County. I think we were playing Clay County as best I remember. And this one guy on the Clay County team, what he wanted to do was to punch me in the stomach whenever I blocked him. That's not a good thing to do. And he tried to get away with it. So when he had blocked, he'd try to come up under like this and try to, and guess what? He was trying to keep it away from the ref. Now, I think eventually we wore him out so much that he didn't try it anymore. But, you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll try to do that to our own team players. We'll punch him when nobody's looking. We'll criticize him when nobody's looking. I'm going to make this little comment when nobody's looking. You know, a lot of people have roast preacher every Sunday afternoon for lunch. And let me tell you, that's not right. That's not right. You know, I remember practicing football with my teammates. None of that happened. We didn't punch each other. We didn't do anything dirty when we played against our teammates. That's what we got to learn as Christians. We need to show teamwork all the time. Even when we disagree, we can still be on the same team, right? Six keys to true unity. Play by the rules, the Bible. Give it your best together. Number three, show teamwork. Number four, remember the goal. Remember the goal. Look what it says at the end of that verse. It says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. For the faith of the gospel. You know, Paul bragged, or didn't brag, he just stated in Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, that what has happened to me has happened to the furtherance of the gospel. He's talking about being in jail, but he was concerned about the gospel. You know, that's our goal, is to see people saved. I mean, that's it. It's not like we get together and roast marshmallows and put our arms around each other to sing kumbaya, kumbaya and say, that must be it. That must be all we need to do. We must be reaching the lost. Why do we have vacation Bible school? To reach the lost. Why do we have fireworks outreach? To reach the lost. Why do we go to camp? So some of these boys and girls will get saved and snuggle up close to God. Why do we give out tracts in the Christmas parade? To reach souls with the gospel. Now, there's a time to have fellowship and fun together. Absolutely. But we have to remember the goal of a church is the salvation of souls. You know, if you think about it, in football, the main goal is to score a touchdown. Of course, to have the most points overall, but... In basketball, the goal is to score a basket. In baseball, to score a run. And for the local church, the goal is to glorify God by the salvation of souls. Six keys to true unity. Play by the rules. That's the Bible. Number two, give it your best together. Number three, show teamwork all the time. Number four, remember the goal is the salvation of souls. And number five, show sportsmanship. Look at chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be, what? Like-minded, having what? The same love. It's talking about this love, this agape love, this self-sacrificial love is supposed to work both ways, right? And he's talking to the church. He said, you're supposed to love everybody, and everybody's supposed to love you back, right? And this isn't just your average, ordinary, run-of-the-mill love. This is agape love. This is self-sacrificial love. And I truly believe that for a number of people in our church, we have that love for one another. And it's shown and it's demonstrated. And some of the others, if you'd stick around long enough, we'd love on you too. But we don't see you enough to love on you as much as we'd like. You see, it's important that we show love to one another. I told our people, mainly our Wednesday night, Sunday night, you know, people, I've shared this with them more. You know, I think we kind of like getting together, don't we? I think we enjoy our company, don't we? Yeah. Show sportsmanship. Having the same love. You know, John 13:35. Now, this is one of those like verses. You ready? Sure you're ready for this. John 13:35. By this, shall all men know that ye are my disciples. What? Because you wear a big Jesus bumper sticker on your car. No. Because I wear Christian t-shirts all the time that say I love Jesus. No, that's not it either. Because I sing Amazing Grace at the top of my lungs. They'll know I'm a Jesus follower. No, you know what it is? It says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now, it's true. We're supposed to love the world, right? The people of the world is what I'm speaking of. The people of the world. We're supposed to love them, the lost people. But there should be something special about our love for one another. Show sportsmanship. Love one another. You know, I follow at times certain sports fairly close. And the boys follow it even closer than I do. Every once in a while, this team is in a season, whether it be a football team or basketball team or whatever. Sometimes it's WVU. We've noticed it about them. They'll be on a winning streak, and they'll be blowing people away. And you're like, wow! For those West Virginia fans, that is amazing. It's like, wow, they're winning. But then something happens. Something happens. And we on the outside, looking in, we don't know what in the world's going on. But something happens. They're no longer are blowing people away. They're losing. And then sometimes come to find out, there's division in the team. And there's fighting in the locker room. And there's disagreement. And the team is not playing as a team. They're not showing teamwork. And then you find out the light bulb comes on. Ding, 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 ding. That's the reason we're not winning anymore. It's because there's division. There's not teamwork among the team. You see, we got to learn a lesson from that, don't you think? Last point, 6 keys to true unity. Play by the rules, the Bible. Give it your best together. Show teamwork. Remember the goal. Show sportsmanship. Love one another. That is, and number 6, don't hog the ball. Don't hog the ball. Show humility. Verses 3 and 4 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. You know, don't be like you remember the old Tasmanian devil cartoon on Bugs Bunny? You know, he'd come around, he'd destroy anything in sight, right? Don't be like the Tasmanian devil in the Bugs Bunny cartoon. Don't destroy everything around you for the sake of you. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Don't do anything to say, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. This, I want my way. It's my way or the highway. You better do this or I'm not going to like you. You better do that. I mean, that's not the attitude we're supposed to have. But it says, it goes on to say, but in lowliness of mind with a humble attitude, let each esteem other better than themselves. And then verse 4 is a reminder. Don't be concerned about just you. Be concerned about the people around you. It says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know, the term ball hog, it seems to mainly apply to basketball. But it can also apply to other sports where people are in it for the glory. I mean, it's like it's all about them. I've been in a number of churches as member and as pastor, and there's some people that you would describe them with every other word perhaps, but not humble. We should not hog the ball. I remember in freshman basketball team, I was probably the 7th or 8th man. I really don't remember. So since I don't remember, let's just call it the 7th man, okay? Because that makes me feel just a little bit better. But I didn't start. But when I got to come in, there was someone else that was like on the 2nd team. I still hold a grudge against him. No, not really. But tell you what he'd do, he was an okay basketball player, but not great. I think he was lower on the roster than I was. But whenever we'd get it, go in the game and hopefully work as a team, you know what he'd do? Every time he got the ball, he would shoot it. And you're like, I mean, you call that a ball hog, right? Sometimes people in the churches can be ball hogs, really. Ball hog. I want my way. I want it now. And if I don't get it, I think in Sunday school, I believe the word that came up again about our American church, I'll tell you the two words I use to describe the American church, and I believe that most pastors, conservative pastors, biblical pastors would agree with this. We are fat and we are sassy. We are fat and we are sassy. We have all the things of the world. We don't have any want, and therefore we don't see a real need in God. And so we just kind of come, a lot of people just punch their heavenly time clock and say, I was here, I'm good. And we're sassy in the sense that I want my way, I want it now. If I don't get my way, I'm not going to be happy. Now you tell me where, I didn't even hear Jesus say that, did you? I'm going to get my way. If I don't get my way, I'm not going to be happy. I didn't hear him say that. Did you? Okay. You see, we can't be a ball hog. Can't be a ball hog. If you want a teamwork, a ball hog just causes division and dissension. 6 keys to true unity. Play by the rules. That's the Bible. Give it your best together. Show teamwork. Remember the goal, his souls. Show sportsmanship. The love that we have for fellow Christians ought to be amazing. A whole new level. And number 6, don't hog the ball. It's not about you and what you want. It's not about me and what I want. It's all about God and what he wants. We need a good dose of humility. Few questions and I'm done. Let me ask you, eyeball to eyeball. You looking at me eyeball to eyeball? I can't really tell. I can't see that far. But are you contributing to unity or disunity? Are you contributing to unity or disunity in our church? I thought about this quite a bit. You know, to be unified is a choice. It's a choice. You can choose to say, you know what, I'm going to be a unifier, or you can choose to be a divider. Can I tell you that it's a whole lot better to be a unifier instead of a divider? Are you playing by the rules? You know, it's going to be hard to have unity if we got a bunch of people not living by the book. When nobody's looking, what decisions are you making? Where's your phone? What's your favorite websites? Are they good or bad? What's your favorite vocabulary word you use? Is it good or is it bad? Your favorite TV show, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? The way you amuse yourself, is it a good thing or a bad thing? You see, we got to play by the same rule book, the Bible, if there's going to be true unity. Secondly, are you giving it your best together? Are you giving it your best? I want to remind everybody here, we're going to stand before God someday. I'm going to stand before God. And guess who I'm going to answer for? I'm going to answer for me, and I'm going to answer for the church as the under-shepherd of this church. But you know what? You're not off the hook either. You're going to answer for you. You're going to answer for your decisions. You're going to answer even for your vote today and next week. You're going to answer to God for that. Are you showing teamwork? Are you showing teamwork? Number four, are you remembering the goal? The goal is lost souls. Number five, are you showing sportsmanship, loving your fellow Christians even when you may disagree with them? And number six, are you hogging the ball, pretending that it's all about you and what you want? What we need to do instead of hogging the ball is to show humility. I'm going to ask Jason if he would to come forward, have our song. Amy, if you'd come to the piano, please. As they do so, if you'd bow your head for a quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we commit this invitation to you now. Lord, I pray that you'll move in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'll help our church to be unified. Help us, Lord, to be on the same page, of the same mind, shoulder to shoulder, ready to face the real enemy. Lord, I pray that we'll be faithful. I pray that we'll be living by the book, and our church will be living by the book and doing exactly what you want us to do. Speak to hearts now, Lord, and as if you're moving in hearts, I pray, Lord, that they may listen to your Holy Spirit and, Lord, may obey and come to the altar and talk to you about it, we pray. And, Lord, may they always know the altar is always open, Lord. This is an altar that's always open to come and pray for a lost loved one, to bring burdens and concerns to the Lord, but also to respond to the message, Lord, to speak to hearts. And Lord, if there's anyone lost who's here today and just truly not born again, they're not sure they're saved, or they may say, I know that I am not saved. Lord, I pray that today they'll join the best team they could ever join, the Christian team, by trusting Jesus as their Savior. Give them the boldness to step out, as I'll be standing somewhere down front, and to come up to me and say, Preacher, I want to be saved. And Lord, if anyone's listening by way of live stream, I pray that they may call out to you from their heart and mean it sincerely and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died for me on the cross to pay for my sins and resurrected back to life. Life, I claim Jesus as my Savior and mean it from the heart. I pray that that'll happen all across the community, Lord, where people might be listening in. We pray this in Jesus' name.